Now, in my many years presenting Lifeline, I've covered many things, but a great void is about to be filled this morning as we chat about cats with Alice Chow, who is a cat behaviour consultant. Good morning, Alice.
Good.
Firstly, Alice, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been a cat behaviour consultant for 12 years, mostly based in Dublin. But, you know, since the pandemic, I don't even call myself based in Dublin anymore because they're just clients from all over the world now, you know, booking virtual services. So, yeah.
So where did this love of all things cats come from, Alice?
Actually, a lot of people ask me these questions when I was interviewed in the past in different media. And a lot of people just sort of have this assumption that I was that little girl who loved cats since the beginning. But actually, it's not the case at all. I actually didn't come across, you know, having a cat interacting with me until I was 20. No, 21, actually. 21 for the first time. I was staying in a host family in France as I was studying there for the summer. And they had a cat. So that was the first time I have significant amount of interaction with a cat, and after a couple of days I was completely converted that oh my god, I need my own cat. And that's what I did. But since I got my own cat, I just got sucked into the whole thing, you know, about cat science and everything, just all things cats.
So can you tell us what are the common misconceptions about cats?
Oh my god, I don't know where to begin. there are many, actually. I mean, one of the main ones, I suppose, that frustrates me is the people saying that cats don't have emotion or cats don't care about humans. This is completely myth because there have been scientists who have actually proved that they do care about us, because when cats are given a choice between going for the food and humans, there are statistics to show that they do actually care about human over food in significant amount of occasions. Even people, they might not necessarily even know. So it could be, you know, the person who is feeding the neighborhood cat and whatnot. They might not necessarily have an intimate relationship with such human, but they will still choose to interact with the human over food in several occasions. So it's not true that they don't care about human. It's just that it's more difficult to read the cat's emotions if you compare the cats with dogs, because dogs have very expressive emotions. They have longer history with domestication with us, while cats have more subtle facial expressions, and so humans have more difficulty to understand cats when they actually like us. So that's why people are like, oh, they don't seem to care. No, it's just that they have, you know, they have a very subtle face, so you people can't tell. But they do definitely care about humans. There are science and science who have proved that in the past few years.
Now, if you're listening to this morning, Alice, and you've decided you're going to get a cat, what are the absolute must-dos and the absolute must-don'ts?
Well, I think one of the problem is, you see, I have actually seen this firsthand during the pandemic. There have been loads of people going out to get cats. According to the government statistics, there have been thousands of people going out to get cats and dogs. And roughly, by looking at the government statistic, I estimate that there are at least 30,000 people in Ireland who have gone out to get cats during the pandemic. That's a huge amount of cats. And fortunately enough, a significant amount of these people who had come to me and asked for guidance because they just went out to go out to get a cat and they weren't sure, like, what they are doing. And they learned, they recognized this very quickly. So they seek professional help either through me or other veterinary professionals, which is great. So that's number one do's, I suppose, is to actually need to learn about how to care for the cat. It's absolute myth to say that it's easy to care for a cat. Just put them in the house, put down a bowl of food, and they'll be grand, independent, and all this. That's a myth. You do actually need to learn how to deal with them, how to feed them properly, balanced diet, how many times a day, make sure they have exercise, I know people know about puppy need exercise, but so as cats. It's just that people don't know about it. So I suppose the don'ts, biggest don'ts is don't assume they don't need you. Don't assume they will sort themselves out. That's not the case. And science says so.
You mentioned exercise. That was my next question. What's the best way to exercise a cat? Because if you have a dog, you take it for a walk two or three, or in my case, six times a day. But people don't normally take cats for walks. How best they exercise?
Now, here's the good news. So for those audience who have been listening to this wondering, oh my God, I got a cat in the pandemic, and now you're telling me it's not as easy as I thought it's going to be. And, what have I got myself into? Is it going to be very complicated? The good news is it's not. This is true. One of the things that is true is that cats actually eat much easier than dogs, okay? So they sleep 16 hours a day. So good news, they actually are not very active for many hours. As a result, the amount of exercise they need to do is actually very little. So, but they do need them. This is the thing. Usually, the advice I give people is they do need at least twice a day interactions, consistent, predictable interaction with the humans, preferably in the form of interactive game. So, you know, typically you see all this fair the toy thing that you can get the cat to jump and run in circles and stuff like that. So if you do that twice a day for, you know, 10, 15 minutes, each session is plenty of exercise. So that's number one. Number two is hunting game is a very great idea. It's basically in the science community, we are starting to feel that with cats, putting a bowl of food down should not be the default solution, because it creates a very boring situation. So they just eat and then go off. For cats who need a lot of, foraging, hunting opportunity, having feeding puzzles is a great form of stimulation. It's a great form of exercise, because then they have to go look for the food. They have to work for their food, because it's only another fun fact for the audience is that it's actually until Second World War that we have indoor cats. Before Second World War, it wasn't possible to have an exclusive indoor cat.
Okay.
So it's a very short period of time that we start to have apartment cats. And, you know, before that, cats would always have opportunity to go outdoors. And what they do outside is they're hunting mice and stuff like that. And now with indoor cats, exclusive indoor cats, they don't have enough opportunity to do so. So in that sense, we need to provide a stimulation of some form of hunting opportunities. And feeding puzzle will be a good alternative for that.
And as far as house training goes, Alice, are they easy to house train?
Cats, in general, by default, they know the litter tray is just evolution. So their brain is triggered when they see soft, powdery substance. They know that this is where they can go to the bathroom. So normally, we shouldn't need to train the cat very much in relation to using the toilet. However, I do deal with a lot of toilet problems myself, and any colleagues who are doing my line of work will agree that 50% of the cases we see is toilet related.
Okay.
So it's a big thing. But then how did that happen? There are several reasons. Number one is physical problems. So sometimes they're in pain. So anything that deals with the urinary area or digestive area, if they are in any discomfort, then they would have difficulty going to the bathroom because they associate the bathroom causing them that pain. So for that, you need to talk to my veterinarian colleague and they will sort you out physically. Number two is emotional problems. So under stress, if they're experiencing anxiety, then they will also have difficulty going to the bathroom. And I'm seeing a lot of this during the pandemic because they are also under a lot of stress. And number three will be wrong setup. And this is also a big thing that I see all the time, is that people don't know how to set up proper bathroom. So it's not the cat don't want to use the litter tray, it's that there's something about the litter tray that bothers them, and they don't want to go to that thing that you provided.
What's the first thing you should do if you notice some aggression, Alice? Cats do have claws and they can do a little bit of damage if they get annoyed about something. If you notice a wee little bit of aggression in your cat, is there anything you can do?
First of all, I always recommend people, the first line of action is to contact your veterinarian, because sometimes aggression comes from they are in discomfort and pain. And again, in comparison to dogs, they are less expressive. So it's more difficult for us to tell if they're in pain. They can hide pain so much better than dogs. So you might not know. I have seen cases where the teeth, the cats have full mouth of teeth rotten, and the people didn't notice because they keep eating, they keep suffering. And it's only the cat started to exhibit aggression, and I suggested them to check with the vet. They find out the whole set of teeth were rotten, going through a huge amount of pain for we don't know how long. So the first thing is to check with your vet. And once the vet has give you a clean view of health, I would recommend people to contact people like me who can look into what causes the aggression in the first place. Because it's not normal, it's not natural for a cat to exhibit aggression. They normally, if they don't like something, they go hiding or they try to avoid the thing they don't like. So it's very rare for a cat to lash out. So if a cat exhibiting aggression, usually something is off.
And the other thing as well that cats have a reputation for is some of them are not exactly loyal. They tend to wander off and not come back. Is there any way you can teach loyalty to a cat?
They usually will associate sense of safety with the territory. So basically, your house is their territory. Your house has their smell. And as I mentioned earlier, they do have positive association with humans they like. So normally, it will naturally happen. You can't train them. They choose you. This is the thing. They choose you. They choose your house. And that's why cat people are such... I find it very interesting working with cat people as well, because they just feel so... They feel so flattered when a cat chose them. And it's a great feeling, you know? So cats naturally would choose your house, would choose your human, and that's just the way it is. Now, the cats that wander off, very often something might have happened. So it's not like necessarily the cat wander off. Maybe they got lost and they don't know the way to come back. I mean, it's just like us, you know, if we are traveling to a big city in another country before smartphone, you know. Now with smartphone, it's more difficult for us to completely get lost. But, you know, before smartphone, we get lost sometimes. So as a cat, they do have a great sense of orientation by smell and by looking at the environment. So normally they know their way back, but it's not 100% foolproof either. So sometimes they might get lost. So, you know, it might not necessarily be a case that they run off, it's just that they might have been lost.
Mm-hmm. And as far as diet is concerned, have you any advice to cat owners present or cat owners of the future as to exactly what you should feed a cat and what you shouldn't feed a cat?
Now, this, my recommendation is check with your veterinarian, because every cat is different depending on their age, size, breed and health condition. So your vet will know your cat's condition best. And you can check with them to decide what would be the most suitable regime for your particular cat.
And we spoke earlier about socialising cats into a home. Alice, how would you go about socialising a cat into a home that already has another pet, perhaps a dog? And we know that reputation that cats and dogs don't get on. But I know people who have cats and dogs and they get on like a house on fire. If you're a little bit concerned or worried that your cat may not socialise as you wish it to socialise, is there any advice you can give people this morning as to best practice?
Yeah, the best thing to do is people need to understand that it might take time. I think very often things turn sour because people are rushing it and they just trying to introduce the animal, like, let's be friends and stuff like that. You know, these days, these methods might not even work with children anymore. Because children are more, you know, outspoken now to say, no, I don't like this. I don't consent to this and stuff. So it's the same with animal. You do need to give them time. And science have shown that by giving them choices, you will be more likely to have positive outcomes. So what it means by that is that when you're doing the introduction, always think about, are you giving them a choice? If they like the interaction, they can stay. Are you giving them a choice that if they don't like interaction, are you giving them a choice to leave? Because apparently if they feel that they have more control with the situation, they are allowed to leave, they are allowed to come back again, etc., they are more likely to have positive association with these interactions. So, nurturing, that is very important. So, how does it actually sound like in simple English, okay? I know this sounds very sciencey. What it means by that is that if you're dealing with a cat, you should always prepare space for them to escape if they don't like this anymore. So, in the form of high places or hiding coops or guest rooms, for example, people who have guest rooms, so you will facilitate that they have access to a guest room, that access to high places that they can be away from it, but while still looking at it, or hiding places. So one of the common mistakes I see people coming to my clinic is that they might be trying to speed things up. So what they do is they stop the cat from hiding. They're like, they close the door of the guest room. They don't let the cat to hide. Actually, this will backfire because now they are actually freaked out because they can't even get away from the things they don't necessarily ready yet, you're forcing them. So they actually start hating the whole thing now. So that's why giving them choices is actually the key of success.
Wow. And if there is somebody out there this morning listening to this and they have absolutely decided to get a cat, what's the first thing they should do, Alice? And is there anything they should do in the home to adapt the home before they get a cat?
Hiding places will be my top number one suggestion, is that they need to understand that it takes the cat time to get used to. So in the industry, we do have a rule that's called 333, which is 3 days to decompress, 3 days to understand you are the human, and three days to decompress, 3 weeks to understand you are the human, and 3 months to understand this is the home.
Okay.
So it takes time. And for the first 3 days, you need to provide hiding opportunities. So as I said, in the form of guest room, if you don't have a guest room, even the bathroom or the master bedroom, figure out a space where they can settle down in quietness. Because cats don't like noise, especially when they're stressed. So, and bear in mind, it's 3 days to decompress, 3 weeks to know that you're the human, and 3 months to understand this is their home. It takes time. Sometimes if you are dealing with a rescue cat who have trauma in the past, it could take up to 3 months for them to understand this is finally my forever home. Because they might have several family before and they have been abandoned or whatever. You know, it's only natural if you think about it. If some cat have past experience like this, it takes them time to understand that I finally find someone who loves me. It's only normal. So don't push things. Give them plenty of time. Give them plenty of space. Give them plenty of peaceful time.
And in the minute or so that we have left, Alice, if somebody wants to contact you, how best they do so? Are you on Facebook? Do you tweet, Instagram? Is there a number there people can contact you on? Or do you indeed have your own website? Or are you part of an organisation that has its own website and they can contact you directly via that?
I'm on everywhere on social media, but the most centralised place would be alicecatsper.com. On there, for those people who are new cat parents, you can find lots of free resources there. I also have a free Facebook group that provides support and advice to people of different level or experience of with cats. So if you're a beginner up to very experienced people who want to dig into the sciencey side of things, I have a free Facebook group. So all the links and stuff is on my website. So if people go on to alicecatsper.com, you'll find all the links.
Alice, thanks so much for talking to us about cats. I've been doing Lifeline since 2007. I think that's a very long time, 14 years. And it's the first time I've ever done anything on cats, and it certainly won't be the last. Absolutely not.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful.
An absolute pleasure, Alice, and thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.